He usually has notes and he remembers what we're holding. We could talk about what we spoke about this week, Chaim. What was the topic again?
The topic was looking at the Avoda from a perspective of Neshama Begof and things that we do and things that we...
Was it the do versus the be?
That's every week.
Yeah.
That's every week. And we got into Kaddishat from Waterloo.
Oh. Yeah. What do you say this week? Which came up. Well, I don't know how Rosh Hashanah Dik it is, but no, it is Rosh Hashanah Dik. It is Rosh Hashanah Dik. See, there's what motivates us most on Rosh Hashanah, preceding Rosh Hashanah, is the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin. The fact that we're going to be judged on Rosh Hashanah, and we start to think about our panasa, think about our health, think about our families, we think about all these things which are nogeya to me, and it's the most common way of seeing Rosh Hashanah. It's the way that we've been taught to understand Rosh Hashanah from our youth, but like everything, if we don't change our perception of Avodas Hashem and Yamin Tovim, what's expected of us as we mature and we get older, so then we're thinking as 30, 40, 50-year-olds the way that we were thinking when we were 10 years old. And that's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that we can be people who are capable of Meichin the Godless, but the Hanachas which we were taught as children. You know, I remember the names of my Moras growing up. That the Hanachas, which we were taught as children, we're still going with them. Oh, there's a shuffle.
Come in the boys while they're in the
yeah.
Thank you for caring.
So on Rosh Hashanah, the way that we look at Rosh Hashanah, unless we make the work or we meet people who tell us otherwise, is that Rosh Hashanah is a day of my family's being judged, I'm being judged, what's going to be with my parnasa, what's going to be with my health. That's Rosh Hashanah for most people. And it motivates us to have a good davening and to make a good Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And then as soon as the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is over, then we're done. That's usually how it goes. Because Yom Kippur, it's sealed already. So as long as Rosh Hashanah is going on, because we consider ourselves to be a Beinoni, and then Yom Kippur, but as soon as the Eidah is over, we're like, we made it. What's Gepaskin is Gepaskin. I hope it was good. And we're ready to be like looking forward to the next Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's Sukkot all about? What's Sukkot all about?
We don't have to worry about davening all day.
But they have to shake the lulav and build the Sukkot, and I'm like, oh. It was so intense until now, and now I have to have this time of the year which is called Zman Simchaseinu. What's the big simcha of that? I'm not ready to celebrate. I want to go on a vacation now. I want to have to stay home and put up a sukkah. Right? If going to the hotels would have been a sukkah thing, it would have been really good. But it's a Pesach thing. But they probably tried to make it a sukkah thing.
Yeah, they have programs even now.
Which is funny because it's again Pesach. Pesach's like turning back around to sukkahs.
For lots and lots of people, Sukkot is a very painful Yom Tov. Especially because we only have a very little window to get things done in. So unless a person is like a real royalist and I love, like he's very masudr and things, so then he gets his sukkah up before Yom Kippur, and like he can go in like a mansion to Sukkot. I'm not that type of a guy, Josh. I'm not that type of a guy. I'm always like in a bahala before Sukkot and just getting it done. You know, it's very hard for me to focus on Sukkot while Yom Kippur staring at you. Like, how could you see past Yom Kippur? It's like, it's not possible to look past Yom Kippur to me. So if Rosh Hashanah is about the Yom Adin, and we see it as a time that we have to make a good year for ourselves, as soon as Yom Kippur is over, in many ways, Sukkot is like the barometer in the Nisayon, which tells us, like, if you could, how much simcha you have going into Sukkot. Is testimony to Hamikdash Hamitzvah as to how well and how good the period of Shnat Yom Kippur was. The Chassam Sofer, after Yom Kippur, he couldn't learn Pashut. I kid you not. he was in such a state of dvekas that he didn't learn until after Shemini Atzeres, because he was like flying high from what Chazal said, that there's no Yom Tov, which is like the Simcha of Yom Kippur. What would he do for those days? He would write nigunim. He would write like his own shira shirim, just like a baruch, just like love songs to Hashem, because of the experience which he had from, you know, Slichos, Shoshana, to Yom Kippur. This is how he emerged from Yom Kippur. This is how a Kohen Gadol emerged from. And this, you can imagine what Saman Sefer HaSina for him was like. Meaning, the Simcha, it's very clear from the Svarim of Sukkot, is as a result of what took place in Yom Kippur. That means to say that whatever our perspective is of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, that it's a time that we're being judged, and then we emerge and like, and then it's supposed to be like a good judgment, hopefully. That can't be pshat, and really what Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is about, because then how does that flow into him? How does that flow into service? And that's what we've been taught as children, and if we're still holding on to that idea, then we're just children in a grown-up body. We have to see to it that as we get older, that our machshavos get deeper in understanding, especially when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're going to say, Shehamalus mi mamakim kasich Hashem, I'm calling out from the depths. So the pashat is that I'm calling out from the depths of my heart, because I realize that my life is on the line. But calling out from the depths also means I'm calling out from a deeper place. If a child comes to Rosh Hashanah and cry to the Ribbono Shel Olam that his life is on the line, what does it say about me? I'm supposed to do the same thing as him? I'm supposed to be the same as that? If a child can do that, that means that my kasich Hashem has to be from a place of mamakim. It has to be from a deeper place. Because a child is not capable of anything which is past the shidchias and chitzonias. He doesn't know what it means to have a mature cry. A mature cry. This is the vart of the Rabbanu from Shisra. That it says in Pasuk that when Basia, when she saw that there was the child in the basket, so she says that the Pasuk says that there was a yelid in the river, and when she opened it up, Vatayrin, she saw Kihine Nar Boicha. There was a Nar who was crying. From the first one, pick up on this. Why does it say that there was a yelid in the river and there was a Nar Boicha? So it says Rabbanim, and then it says that she knew he was Miyalde Evrimze. She knew it was Miyalde Evrimze. So it says Rabbanim, because she saw that it was a child, it was a yelid. But when she heard the voices of the cry, she saw it wasn't a yelid's cry, it was a na'ar's cry. It wasn't the same as a yelid. A yelid and a na'ar can't cry the same. So she said, such a mature cry, Hine Miyalde Evrimze, it's a Yiddish child. Unbelievable, Musa. It's such a deep bar from Rabbanim. That there's a yelid baicha and there's a na'ar baicha. And that's really what we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al tashlicheni le'izikna kitchas koichi al tazveni. That the way that a na'ar is baicha, the way that a na'ar is baicha has to be different. The way that a na'ar is baicha. It's a mature cry. On Rosh Hashanah, the whole inyan of the shofar is that it's a shliach, is that we tell the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we don't know how to cry on this day properly. At least the call of the shofar, which is our representation, knows how to cry. It knows like the right things to cry for. That's called Hinai Nar Baicha. It's actually very good, because the secret of the shofar is what's called Shachpar. Yeah, he explains that there's two sources of din in the world. One comes from what's called the Shach, and one's from the Par. Together it's Gematria 600. And the Ari explains that Shofar is 14 less than Shach Par. It's Shofar is Par of the Par Dinim, but it's only Shin Vav. You need Shach. So the Ari explains that when you take the Shofar in your yad, and this is a Kavana anybody can have, it's a very simple Kavana. When you take the Shofar in your hand, which is Shin Vav, when you take the Shofar in your hand, and your hand is Gematria Yad, so Yad with Shin Vav is the Matriya Shach. So says the Ari, when you take the Shofar in your hand and you blow the Shofar, since Shach Par represents all the dinim in the world, all din in the world comes from Shach Par, so basically what you're doing is that like you're being mamtik all the din in the world. So the Ari explains, why isn't it just a Shofar called Shach Par? Why is it called Shofar? Explains, because Shin Vav is the Matriya Dvash. And the dvash represents the hamtakas adin, which takes place. You're mamtik the din, and with the shofar, that's called shinvav pak. But the dvash is mamtik the pak. Now you understand why there's honey table in Rosh Hashanah, because the Ari explains that the representation of hamtakas adinim is through the inyan of dvash. It's the shinvav of the shofar. What that means for us, just bechlal, and we'll open up the form as to like what it means to have a nar boicha. It's a very deep inyan, what it means to krami mamakim, have to go into Rosh Hashanah with a different plan, with a different game plan on Rosh Hashanah as to like, okay, I'm just going to come in here and just shout for my life. If we even do that. It's very hard for us, by the way, to cry for our lives. You should know you could cry for other things much more than you can cry for your life. Much more. Much more. And that's why we have a hard time Rosh Hashanah, not because we're not maminim. You can only cry for your own life as much as you can. There are things that you could cry about much more than your own life. But where were we? I don't remember where we were.
Nargoka?
Huh? No, yeah, but there was I think it had to do with Dvash, but I don't remember. Do with Dvash, with the Shofar. Okay. What do you say, Sean?
Kind, sir.
Oh.
We can begin. He's been delaying for you.
I guess I've been delaying.
No, Josh. You understood it? It's everything is good.
No,
that's fine.
To process it, though, you do have
yes.
you do have to deal with two things. The first is there is a lot of rhetoric around fighting for your life and how to process that properly or not. So if the answer is not, that's easy, right? If the answer is grow up, then that's at least, it could be challenging to do so, but it's easy to understand. It's easier to understand that. What's harder to understand is how to balance between the raw awesomeness of the fact that the world is changing and there is some judgment going on that's going to impact your year with the maturity of the relationship, which is, I can't be middle-aged and still be scared of Hashem the way I was scared of him when, like, I was 8 and they told me, like, if you don't daven, then, you know, you get a patch or something. Like, this, it's a challenging balance between respecting the fact that there's judgment going on and also being able to ascend from it, to create up an approach that is both respectful of the judgment, but also not immature. That the whole goal of Rosh Yom Kippur is to like corral you in the world of like, you know, Yiras HaOnash, versus to really get a Jew to be Mamlech Hashem, to really get a Jew to see that his life really has no value but for a place in the kingdom of God. But that's a difficult balance in there, right? You have to love the king but respect the king.
Especially at a certain point, I think. One thing you said a minute ago that actually I was really thinking about it is a person can't cry for his own life. And why not? I assume what you mean in part is because it's for the overwhelming majority of us really be able to actualize in our mind that our lives are actually hanging in the balance.
No,
it's not
true. No. Let's say there was somebody here, Khalid Vachas, who had a gun to our heads and he says, this is your last moment in your life. How much can imagine, that's Rosh Hashanah, let's say that is Rosh Hashanah, that is really where Rosh Hashanah is. You can only cry so much about your life. You can cry about other things. I'm not talking about because you have sikas and emunah. You can only cry about that so much.
Meaning is more powerful than self-interest.
Yeah, but then it means that at a certain point, it logically it should follow that if you're really holding at the level of complete bittul, don't necessarily view your life as being a big a deal.
Ah, very good. That's the pshat. The pshat is that your life, in the scheme of things, only means this. That's what your life is.
But, you know, but what about when you say your, expand it? Because the your can include family, can include. Cause
right. Okay,
for
so
your own life is later. You're not until 24/7.
And that's exactly the issue, right? That's the real emotional challenge of both. focusing on Bithel on the one hand, no, even if you know and can internalize the fact that everything's hanging in the balance, but you want to have Bithel, balancing those two things becomes...
Your life is not meaningful. If I'm living life for me, that's nothing meaningful about that. That doesn't impact anything other than my Dalai Lamas and the extended Dalai Lamas and my Dalai Lamas, which is like my family and my friends and b'chule b'chule and the rest of Klai Yisrael, whatever. But it's very, very limited. You can only cry that limited cry. However, there's a universe out there. There's a Tachlis HaBriyah. There's thousands of years of past and future creation. You could cry about that infinitely. You can cry about the Ribbono Shel Olam's Tzar infinitely. I mean, there's things which you could cry about it, which are not limited to this tiny Dalan Amos 70 years of Kachachaloyim Yo'ov, which is that's what our life is. That even when we're crying in that little tiny part of davening, which we spoke about last year, which is like the Nesana Taikiv, which everybody's hanging on a Nesana Taikiv, which is like a little window. So I don't even have it. Yeah, it's a little window where everybody's like, oh, Nesana Taikiv, got to be there for Nesana Taikiv. It's almost like it's like higher than the Shofar for many people. Because it ekes out like a little bit of emotion by Nesana Taikiv. But that's not Rosh Hashanah. That's not Rosh Hashanah. Like, the Rosh Hashanah is Shmona Esrei. It's the Shofar. That's what it is. Look in the Shmona Esrei, there's not a word about your life. It doesn't say anything about your life. All it talks about is the Chai HaMelech. It's all it talks about. The Chai HaMelech is the subject of Rosh Hashanah. That's what it is. Malchus Hashem in the world. Will this be the world where the Shofar Gadol will become a Shofar? The Shofar Katol will become a Shofar Gadol? Will I be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on myself today and for the whole year? What's going to be with the Malchus Hashem? But again, we don't have any Shaykhs to Malchus. We speak about this a lot. We don't even know what it means to be an Evid under the dominion of the king. We don't even know what that means to be a subject of a king. Subject of a king means that you do whatever the king says, even to put your life on the line. That's what it means. The king says you're going to the front lines, you go to the front lines. That's it. Your life is not your life. That's what it means to have a king. The whole concept of rights is an American concept, because America is the beginning of democracy, so to speak, like worldly democracy. But when there's a melech, there's no rights. You don't have any rights. The only one who has rights is the melech. Everybody else, there's no discussion, rights or no rights. If there's no melech, then everybody's like a melech, and therefore you can talk about your rights. That's not a Yiddish concept, to have rights. In the Torah, you're told exactly what you need to do, how to treat other people. That's what the Torah says. Rabbi Tat says this all the time, right? He says, Torah has nothing to do with rights. It has to do with your obligations to your chaver, your obligations to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what your achrayus is, not to what your rights are. Because when there's a melech, like we have, there's no rights. That's really what it means, Nar Baicha. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a person who was like Moses, the son of Amram. That wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, his life, when it was on the line in the riverbanks, was like, if Moshe Rabbeinu dies, who's going to take Yidden out of Mitzrayim? That has nothing to do with him. If he would have cried for his own life, that would have been a Yeled Baicha. But that's not what he was thinking about. Nar Baicha means, what's going to be with Klal Yisrael? What's going to be with the Shechinta Begalusa? What's going to be with my purpose in this world, which is much more than just, you know, my parnasa and my job, which you speak about a lot. Like, our purpose in this world has nothing to do with our job. Nothing. Whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, you're an accountant, whatever it is that you do, if you think that that's your tachlis in this world, has anything to do with it, it has very little to do with your tachlis. Your tachlis every day has to do with your Shmona Esrei every day, with your learning every day, with your Shalom Bayis every day, with your children every day. That's your tachlis in this world. The mitzvahs which you do along the way, that's your tachlis in this world. Whatever tachlis it has to do with building bricks in the Beis HaMikdash and all that, that's your tachlis in this world. Not to be able to make a gemach somewhere and then it'll be called your name and the people will have gemilas fasad, and that's very good. That's a very nice thing. But that could even be secondary to your Shmona Esrei every day. Because that's just what you're leaving in Olam Hazeh. What about behind the curtain as to like what's going on in the ruchnius world and in the world which we live in? But that's called Nar Baicha. It's a mature cry which comes from a place of what's going to be with Klai Yisrael, what's going to be with Shechinta Begalusa if there's no Moshe in the world. That's Nar Baicha. And that you can cry about forever. And that's why the Kol Shofar, which is a very mature cry, which is a very deep cry, which is a cry which is Mamakim, it has a totally different shprach than a person is capable of. We're limited as human beings in terms of the type of cry which we're able to cry. But the shofar is considered to be a kol, which is like an Ein Sof type of a kol. It's a kol which the Haftarah talks about, Racham Avak Al Baneha, that type of a cry. It's a cry for Klal Yisrael, it's a cry for things which matter to the purpose of creation. Things are just beyond me as an individual.
How does a person take what you're saying and they're working on it? What I'm hearing you say is like this, and we've been speaking about this, which is the tachlis of Rosh Hashanah is malchus. It's bit. Right? It's fighting the goose. It's total bit. And so how does a person know that he's driving towards bittul for bittul and not because he now has the secret that it used to be when I was 2019, I thought I had to just cry like crazy during this Hanatokif. Now I'm hearing a shir from Rubenstein, and he's telling me I gotta say Bittul and Amelech. I'm in. Whatever it's gonna take.
You just answered the question.
But you have to get to a place, not in your mind, but in your awareness, in your lathe, that you are mevatel yourself, which means it shouldn't even matter to you what the judgment is. I mean, you should mamash walk away from Rosh Hashanah and be like, whatever.
Why do we dump everything?
Yep, say like, yeah, it should be like, I don't even care if I'm in the good book, but what's the difference? Look, the books, like, what's the difference? I'm in Hashem's book. I don't care if it's Sefer HaChaim. It's irrelevant to me. The Avinu Malkeinu should be totally irrelevant to us, because what we're really saying is, it doesn't matter where you put me as long as I'm with you. And if it's the front lines, it's okay. So, driving towards that reality requires...
It's more than just being with you. It's serving you. It's making you happy that I'm here. It's the idea. All the Avinu Malkeinu specifically, not necessarily asking for you.
When we say Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, goes back. What we're saying is, please give me a good life.
Because we want a good life. Okay, but that's what he's. That's not what he's saying.
But I want to be real about it. When we say it, I know that
I
we're
want a good life, so I can serve you. It's not about me.
But you can't get
so it
there.
It does make a difference if you.
So you come back online, Matsuyantif, and you look at your email. I was like, oh my god, this is going on. Exactly. This one, I can't believe.
Let me tell you.
Suddenly, all the bitl you had on Rosh Hashanah, your first email.
But more importantly, the bitl Rosh Hashanah. No, the bitl Rosh Hashanah was just a ploy. The Yitzhar was doing to say, don't really work on yourself. Just use this technique now. Right. The technique now is saying, I'm vatel. But what you're really saying is, I want a good life. But now the new word of 2020 is bittul, right? So I'm just going to use a new word. But really, it's not bittul. Bittul has to be, I don't care where I end up. And once you don't care what kind of car you drive, and someone gives you a Maserati, it's beseder, because you don't care. But you have to go through a period of time where you legitimately don't care before you get the thing back. Because if you never had time without the thing, you don't know.
Ba'asher Husham kicks in.
But how do you get to Ba'asher Husham unless you can get to that
level? It's like the story of the guy, right? The guy says, you know what, I'm not working anymore.
But how could it not be?
Because we say that we have to worry about the Shekhinah, right? We always talk about the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah, the whole idea. It's got to be Mevatel yourself. You're not the Mevatel the Shekhinah. It makes a difference what the Shekhinah thinks about you.
No, I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is the things that we ask for, and the things that we're saying on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, unless we are willing to say, whatever it is that I want, whatever it is that I'm asking for, I am okay without it if it makes the Shekhinah happen.
Fine, so...
Now, but that doesn't... But that's not happening during the day. That's not happening even in our tefillos.
Yes, it is.
We're not saying, Hashem, put me in whatever book you want.
You're being because you want to be in the book of life, because you want to be able to serve Him. That's the whole tachlis in the world. The reason why you're here is to serve Him.
But to really...
Not to serve yourself. Being mevatel doesn't mean that... It doesn't make a difference which book you put me in. It doesn't. It means
a different word instead of bittul. I think I'm still in the realm of chassidus. If we put this bittul aside,
you gotta come to
say,
the Sephardi side.
Yeah. No, we want to bring nachas ruach to Hashem.
Don't do that, because you
absolutely.
Can end up. You can be on a Pesach program, stuffing your face, going, I'm nachas ruach.
That's not true. Not if you understand it correctly.
How can you get the nachas ruach without bittul?
Absolutely.
How can you do it?
I think it's just more of a positive. It's just a positive way to look at it.
Same way that the Kedushas Levi, and once I say, all Hashbarach wants to do is give, is you should give him nachas, and he should give you, he gets nachas from when you do well. The next paragraph, it's, If you get any hana from Olam Hazeh, you're basically missing the bus. Right? Like, what do you mean? What happened?
What I'm trying to get to here is, and this is what this
chavrus. I mean, hearing the question, I want to focus on the question. Is that what you have to do?
Yeah,
ask the question. It's a very important question.
Meaning, I want to get the chavrus to get to a level where we're not just understanding it intellectually. We are understanding it in an awareness. We can literally, not just conceptually say, I understand now, bittul. We can literally walk into Yom HaDin and get to 10% more, where there is, last year I was a zero, and now I'm a 10%
bittul. For me, it's easier to get there if you just change the wording a little bit.
Because bittul sounds so harsh.
Wait, so
it does. I don't,
but that's real sometimes.
I guess not necessarily. I don't think so. I don't think we have to go
question,
down that.
Your question kind of assumes that like there's like an on and off switch, you're there, you're not. When isn't the answer, it's a process, and you're right.
There's different levels.
I want to go 10%.
Work a little harder.
But I want to get to a level we understand this yisod, which is, if we're really walking down the world with bittul, then at the end of the day, there is a certain perspective that we have to have during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is a realness to the impartiality, or the lack of we're not partial to the results.
Right, it's a lifetime of work. It's not a, let's sit here on a Friday afternoon for an hour.
Okay, but now it's only a week for Rosh Hashanah.
Exactly. Right. And Yom HaDin is coming. It doesn't matter. The Amish are showing up in 1 week. We got to show them something that we didn't show them last year. So we should have done this in April.
Yeah, okay.
There was a virus. We all stay home. We're here now.
Yeah.
Is your question more of just that, how do we understand, how do we actually recognize that, or is that our davening is a stero sort of by saying?
I think the question is like, now what?
Right. Well, yeah. That's it.
I think two words. Now what?
Charlie wants a room scene to tell him what to do.
No.
I can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
not true.
I want to tell me what he wants him to be.
I'll tell you why. No, you have to stand. It's a very real question, and I know Shaul also. We have to be very careful of like the tricks of the Yetzirah, meaning like that we're not just going to say that it's this, but really in our heart it's that.
You can fool yourself really easy.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and we have to be very careful whatever we do, where we think like, you know, we're the big unav, and really inside we're like, no.
Or the big enough with
it's the guy.
With the big enough with everything's going exactly where you want it. Exactly. Oh my gosh, a guy by the talking is off the charts. Yeah. One thing goes wrong, and it's like
gone.
Right. So now we're saying like, wow, there's a whole new inyan of Rosh Hashanah. That's great. I'm gonna go into Rosh Hashanah, and this is gonna be my Rosh Hashanah. But inside, you're like,
it's like a bad interlink. One cool trick, so they get good judgment.
Right. So how do we do that? That's really the question. And Josh, you're 100% right in that. You know, there's a person who's living that. That's his life throughout the year. So then it comes natural on Rosh Hashanah. But we're across the red line, and we're feeling the sense of urgency right now because Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. And if this is a new musik to us about Rosh Hashanah, like, it's mamakim, so then how do we, if I'm a chitzonius guy, how do I just go into mamakim? It's like, it's not like I could just, you know, step over the line and I'm in the world of mamakim. Like, you know, it's much farther than that. It's like when, a few months ago, I think I may have told you this, when I went to the Rebbe, and people were talking about Corona and about Mashiach and this and that, you know, it was so hard, everybody was in their homes. So I told the Rebbe, you know, people, you know, Corona, Mashiach, this and that, you know. So the Rebbe said, oh, you're talking about Mashiach now? He said, I want to see, this is in April. He said, I want to see in the middle of July when they're upstate in their homes, in the swimming pools, that they're like, oh it's a Mashiach season, Mashiach season.
Mashiach can't come in the summer.
Right. Yeah.
That's mostly right there.
Yeah. So, but the MS is that
answer,
what?
That's the answer.
But the Rebbe can say that because he's constantly living the life of that. Meaning, that's an answer which is a Rebbe-sha answer because as a tzaddik, so he's calling the bluff of it. He's like, you know, where are you? Where are you? Like, where's your Gan Eden? Is your Gan Eden Mashiach coming? That musig, or is your Gan Eden when you're up in the summer? Like, what are you looking forward to in life?
You know, for us,
we can't give that answer.
No, we can't, but we could recognize that our Gan Eden is going upstate. That's our battle. Why do we want that?
Right. So it's an important hakara, absolutely. I was just using that as an example as to like where we're holding and like how do we bring like these virtuous tachlises into my life in a meaningful way. So in reality, if we see Rosh Hashanah as a day which is like we, you know, in Pnimius, which means to connect it to everything around it and looking in the vicinity, so then we can start to understand a little bit how that works. But before we do that, we have to recognize we make Rosh Hashanah a day of it's about me. We do that because we look at certain Gemaras and we see the mission of Rosh Hashanah, which says, you know, everybody's omei lefanav kivnei maron, oven lefanav kivnei maron, you know, and we take certain chazals which stand out about Sifei Chaim, Sifei Meisim Psuchim, and there's the fear factor, and it's not like there are so many chazals about that. We were just taught those ones as youngsters because it's easy to relate to, because Yiras HaOnesh speaks to animals. Any nivra, if you hold over a bat, you know, to it, it'll get scared and it'll do whatever you want it to do. So as children, well, we're not bar seichel, so these are the chazals, which are just a handful really of chazals, and we're like, oh my gosh, I gotta get going. We do that to ourselves, but if we actually see the machzor as a mahalich into what the day is about, and we study the machzor and we go through the machzor almost like as a derech, which is like a lemaisa dekaderech, where we're actually paying attention to what we're saying. So then the machzor kind of speaks for itself, and tells us exactly what we should be experiencing and focusing on right now. So it takes a little bit of bittul, meaning not a big bittul, but like a bittul hadas of what I think Rosh Hashanah should be like, what I've created out of Rosh Hashanah, because really nobody told me to do that. I mean, maybe I had a mover who told me to do that, and I had probably rabbis also along the way, many who told me to do that also, but that's just like our imagination as to like what Rosh Hashanah should be. The machzor tells us the real story. If we look at the machzor, then we'll be okay. We just have to be mevatel ourselves to what the machzor says. A simple eitzah would be, just like a lemaisa eitzah, would be to actually look at the machzor before Rosh Hashanah. It does wonders. I'm telling you, if you look at the machzor on Rosh Hashanah and you open it up, you're familiarizing yourself again with like what's in it. Like, oh yeah, I remember this is here and this is there. We sing this tune here and this tune now. There's the whole welcome back type of a feeling to the machzor, which if you really focus on the welcome back feeling during the machzor, it should be painful. It should be painful, and it gives us a little bit of like a good feeling. Like we enjoy that. We're like, oh, it's good to be back a little bit. I'm looking forward to these tunes. And now, oh, I forgot that this was there. It takes away. And mamish takes away from the real feeling of the Shabbat. Machzor should not be a stranger on Rosh Hashanah from last year. You shouldn't be reacquainting yourself with the machzor. You should be sitting down with the machzor, even if you're not the Peshat, before, during the week before Rosh Hashanah, to get all like the small talk and like where you've been the last year out of the way, to tell me about your life. Like you should be ready to sit down with the machzor like date five. Like, okay, we're ready to talk serious. We're ready to talk serious right now. Like, where do you want to live? You know, what are your goals in life? What are your hashkafas? You know, what matters to you? It seems like it's like it's not a big eitzah. It is a big eitzah. That's one, because the machzor tells us everything essential. Right? Essential is the word of the tkufa. Essential. The machzor only has things which are essential. Essential is in the machzor. So when you say words like "V'simlech atashen lavadecha kol masecha v'yeda kol pol ki atah pa'altai," it shouldn't be like you're saying those words and then you're like, oh, I remember you from last year. It should be like words where you're not getting the geshmak out of the hischachas. You're getting the meaning out of those words because like you really want to connect in a raw way to what those words mean. My Rebbe always says like those words are like the sweetest words that the tzaddikim, they couldn't mamash leave these words. Like the whole year, these words were on their mouths. V'yeda kol pol ki atah pa'altai. You know what those, we don't say those words the whole year. We don't say words like that. Don't you realize that there are certain things which you can only say Rosh Hashanah Kippur, that we don't have rishus to even say such words during the year? Like I tell the guys who are engaged to before they're married, I say, there are certain words you can use and certain words you cannot use. There's certain words which are between husband and wife, certain words between chasan and kala. Words of I love you are not for chasan and kala. Don't ever tell your kala you love her, or she shouldn't tell you she loves you. Because you don't know what love means. Have you loved somebody after 6 weeks? You love somebody? You know what the word love means? You know what type of danger you put yourself in when you say the words to a girl who you're not married to and you say, I love you? You know what type of averus can come from that? Those words do not belong to a chasan and a kala. They only belong to a husband and a wife. There's certain words throughout the year which are only reserved for Shai Yom Kippur. Because it's not, the rest of the year is like, you know, engagement, it's like having fun, it's like you're dating. On Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, like you're talking about real things. It's like you're really in it. This is like what we go through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is supposed to be a time where halavai, halavai, the whole year should be on the level of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Meshach Chachman, the Tzaddik and Might, that when Klai Yisrael traveled for 40 years, every day was the din of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Every day had the din of Yom Kippurim. Which is why, according to Chazal, Aaron was allowed to go into the Kodesh Kodashim any day of all 40 years. Why? The Meshach Chachman says, because every day had the status of Yom Kippur. They ate mon every single day. Now, all the kavanas of Yom Kippur come from the mon. That's what it is. The Ari explains that instead of eating on Yom Kippur, you have five tefillas, and the five tefillas is what you eat on Yom Kippur. And that's called mon. All the kavanas of Yom Kippur come from the mon. So all 40 years that they ate the mon, in the midway, was every day was Yom Kippur. That's like, that was the Majega which Moshe Rabbeinu carried them on. Every day was Yom Kippur. But these are words which they, it's not like this is the text of the Machzor on Rosh Yom Kippur. These are the words which are only allowed to be written in the Siddur during these days. And as soon as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur goes away, even though it's going to be a Sukkis, you don't have such words. Even on the Pesach and on the Shavuos, you don't have such words. So if we take the Machzor as our Mevatel ourselves to the Das of the Machzor, and again, part of that is just preparing for the Machzor properly. You know, when you hold the Machzor in your hand, you have to know that this is your guide. This is going to be your map as to who's going to take you through the day. So don't think, like we always say, that Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah is going to be like what you do the rest of the day. That's going to be, the Tehillim which I'm going to say in Rosh Hashanah is going to be my Rosh Hashanah this year. Or like the Gedolim stories of the learning I'm going to do, that's not your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is going to be the davening the Mishnah. That's your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And Asheinu Matav Chalkeinu, because there's no, it didn't have to be such a long davening. Imagine how we would squander the day of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if not for the fact that the davening was so long. Over here, you know, we're unlucky because we finish at 1:30. Go to some place like Sichin, like you finish at 5:30. You have a half an hour for your Suda, and then you come back already, you're around the clock davening on Rosh Hashanah. Not even just on Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, you're engaged with the Malach and the Shofar the entire day. You're just enveloped in the Malchus the entire day. It's very hard for us to keep that up. That's not like that we got out at 1:30, 2 o'clock. What time did you finish on Rosh Hashanah? Oh, 1:30, I finished 2:30. Like, that's the Shprach. That's like, when did you get out of Shalom Rosh Hashanah? That? Like, how quickly did you finish on day two as opposed to day one? We should be crying over such Shprach like that. Talk like that on the Rosh Hashanah. It's like we're invited to have this Shprach with the King once a year, and like, we're talking about it that way. I don't want to say any kitchen chalidah, but the point is that that's one Eitzah. Talk about another Eitzah, but I'm sure there's a lot to say about this, so we'll open up comments for that. If any. Okay. Fine. The next thing, though, is to look at Rosh Hashanah from a Pnimius perspective. Means that where does Rosh Hashanah fall in with all of his friends? I mean, all of the Yom Tovim are like friends to each other. They're all Chaverim Tovim. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur obviously are very good friends, and Sukkot is also a Shachin Tov and Shmini Atzeres, and you know, everything which is going on Rosh Hashanah during this Tkufa of Tishrei, they're all very, it's a very close knit chevra, this chevra shaf of Tishrei. What, in order to send Rosh Hashanah properly, we have to see Rosh Hashanah as a hemshich from, like we spoke about going back, the Yemei HaMitzarim. The Yemei HaMitzarim is really what's machayev Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What's machayev Yom Hadin Rosh Hashanah is the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. Every year, if there's a Tisha B'Av, that means that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again. And we have to be held accountable for that. So every Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is taking us to Din. He's taking us to Din on the fact that there was a Tisha B'Av this year. In his infinite kindness, as the master of the world, he gives us a time period of Chodesh Elul and the end of Chodesh Av to prepare ourselves for Tisha B'Av. That wasn't a mistake. To prepare ourselves for Tisha B'Av. But this has to be a din and a cheshbon why there was a Tisha B'Av this year. And Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin where HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Klai Yisrael and says, how did you allow the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed? As Gemara says, any door that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's as if it was destroyed. So Rosh Hashanah if you look back as to like what was before Rosh Hashanah? I mean, what is Rosh Hashanah coming from? Right? And the same way we looked at Sukkot, we're like, Sukkot, in order to understand Sukkot, it means that I have to expand my vision and say, oh, Sukkot has to do with Yom Kippur. Sukkot has to do with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has to do with Rosh Hashanah. That's like we're Dorish Smuchin, right? Smuchin B'Torah. You have to look at your surroundings and to evaluate what it is based on what's around it. So if you want to know what Rosh Hashanah is, you have to look back at the last Yom of the Pigra and say, oh, that was Tisha B'Av. And so therefore Elul is a Hachana in Hashem's great in His grace that He gives us to have a Rosh Hashanah because there was an Elul. Which is of course why we blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, why we begin Slichos on Rosh Hashanah. But that's all on the heels of Tisha B'Av, because we have to give an accounting of how did you mess that up.
Well, and also historically, right? Yom Kippur is valued that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the Shemayim. Bein HaMitzarim, Shavuos HaBetam, it's all connected to having to go back up.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Luchos,
in that way, Yom Kippur is really like a tikkun of Shavuos HaBetam. So Luchos were broken in Shavuos HaBetam. Right. So Yom Kippur, like you're saying, is like it's the tshuva on that. It's the rebuilding story. of that churban. Rosh Hashanah and Tisha B'Av are similar in that way. Yeah, it's 22 days from Rosh Hashanah to Shmini Atzeres, and there's 22 days, right? But you have to understand that Shavuos HaBetamos and Yom Kippur are linked together because it has to do with the Churban HaTorah. The Churban HaTorah was the breaking of the Luchos, Shavuos HaBetamos, and Yom Kippur is the rebuilding of Torah with the Luchos Shnios. Tisha B'Av is the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rosh Hashanah is a tikkun of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's called the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Sfarim say, Menayim and others say, that Beis HaMikdash is the Matzeh of Rosh Hashanah. They're both 861. Because Rosh Hashanah is our Achrayas on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So, the period, we have to understand, of course, this is a huge topic, of what does Beis HaMikdash represent? Like, what does it mean, Beis HaMikdash? If you want to say in just a few words, Beis HaMikdash means my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash represents our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You could do all the, you could do many, many things, but if there's no relationship, then there's no bias, and there's no Beis HaMikdash. So, Elul, which is the period before Rosh Hashanah, stands for Ani V'Doi Di V'Doi Di. What that means is that what matters to you matters to me, what matters to me matters to you. And that's what brings us into Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah is an accounting of what matters to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What matters in our relationship. So if I come into Rosh Hashanah, the only thing I'm thinking about is, I hope I have a good year this year. I hope I get all the deals I need to get. I hope that my kids do well in school. And whatever it is else on my wish list, I hope everything is taken care of. If that is, then what does that have to do with Ani L'Doi V'Doi Di Li?
Let's go further. You come to Rosh Hashanah and be like, I hope I can serve Hashem this year. What you're really thinking is, I hope I can serve Hashem in the way that I want to serve Hashem this year. You can make it firmer even, and still be totally in the place of Ani.
Yeah, that will always be a struggle because, again, this is also part of answering the question that we're very right, and we're very erlich. Emistic and proper. If we have the avodah of like, am I kidding myself? That avodah of am I kidding myself? Am I really being true? Am I really being sincere with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is part of the avodah. So really, part of the answer to the question of is like, okay, now that we're talking about all these ideas, how do I make a lemaisa? Part of the answer is like, yeah, it's I have to be emistic and realize that's not going to be part of it. And even people who their whole lives are about Kutcher Bichu Shchinte, they walk into Rosh Hashanah and they're like, come on, me? Kutcher Bichu Shchinte? That's not right. I can't say that I'm on that level. That's going to be no matter who we are. And if it's not, then, and if we think that
sure
we're there,
level.
Right, then yeah. So that's always going to be present. So really the real question is like, how do I get a little bit of sincerity in that? And it's, in Achanami, it's hard a week before, and the best eitzah a week before is just to throw up our hands and say, give it to me, which is always the best eitzah, which is really the only real answer. If you go into the depths and the depths of the Mamakim, the only real answer is that Hashem anyways has to give it to you. So everything is just a levush to the fact that He has to give it to you. So And that's really one of the, what the Sfarim say, is that right before Shoshana, the Avodah is like, you're about to go in front of the Melech, and you feel like you have nothing, you just tell the Melech, like, you tell me how you want me to come before you. You tell me. You write the script. And really, again, the Matzah is the script. But that I should really feel it, that I should really be margish it, give that to me. And if a person has that going into Rosh Hashanah, a feeling of, I'm coming to a Kodesh Baruch Hu that I should actually have a Rosh Hashanah which is meaningful to you, then it could be gifted to him. It could be gifted to him. And we should not rule that out. That's probably like the most what we need to hear now. But again, there's the machzor, there's looking at it as a bigger picture. You know, really, again, this is not the best answer because we're a week before, and if we didn't, you know, if we didn't start by Tisha B'Av, you know, thinking that there's going to be Rosh Hashanah, so it's challenging. But just to conclude the topic, and almost to conclude what we're doing here right now, is that the Emes that you should know that what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants is really what I want. So it's very different than other relationships. It's very hard for me to meet a guy on the street and he tells me, you know, I really wish that I had a different house, and he says, will you please daven for me? And then the person comes and he says, I'm davening, I really hope that Shlomi should have that house. It's very hard to daven for that because that's not really what I want. I'm just trying to daven for what Shlomi wants. But with Kutcha Bichu, it's not like that. Really what I want, what I think what I want, is not really what I want. I really want what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants more than what I want. Because more than who I am as a Adam Prati, I'm a Chelek Alakam Ima. What matters to a Jew most is this concept of Yichu Kutcha Bichu Shente. Just sometimes you need to squeeze it out of him. Min Hametzah Karasika. That's why the Shofar, the secret there, he says, the Shofar is called Min Hametzah Karasika. When you're in a tight spot called the Metzah, then Karasika, I call out for Hashem's name, meaning I call out for what Hashem wants. And really, if you really want to put together this theme of like my life is on the line and the Malchus Hashem and Tshuva and all these things, so if you really squeeze a Yid hard, really hard, a lot, you'll squeeze out the real kishkas of a Jew, that it's really Malchus Hashem which matters, not the size of my house. That's that. And it's really a way to bridge these two things together. If people know what that's really what Kabbalah Samach Shemayim means. Kabbalah Samach Shemayim means is that Hashem has, I have an ani, and Hashem has an ani. And when we say about my ani, really my ani is your ani. What I think who I am is really, it's really you. That's the ultimate Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. And that's not like a ploy, it's not a trick. There's something very sincere about that. Mm-hmm. So even if he stands in front of Hashem and he's saying, you know, I'm talking about your malchus, but I have a whole wish list at home, which I really want you to please take care of for me, but I'm going to say that I'm talking about the malchus. If he knows that really in the depths of his heart, this is really what he wants, that's emes. The whole tefillah becomes emes.
Even if you're not there yet, if you want to be there, that's still a huge lot of it.
Yeah.
Just the desire to have the desire is already a desire.
But it's a desire, but it's not like it's not mirachok.
No, right.
That's really inside of me right now. That's really what I want. Yeah. That's really what I want, and that's really why the Akedah is what we read about on Rosh Hashanah Kippur. There's like the last thing that Avram wanted to do was to sacrifice his son on the altar. But be'emes, that's really what he wanted to do.
Right.
Because he just what we want to do is just do the Ratzon Hashem. If Hashem's Ratzon is right now is to take Yitzhak and Shechem, that's really what I want.
So therefore, the pathway really is the ability to introspect enough till you uncover that part of yourself.
That's
lo rachok, okay, meaning like it's really in you.
Above chalasa,
right. So now the question is, how do you get to a level where you can get yourself to quiet the noise around you, just to get to the place that you always had inside you, but never was given expression?
Gotta love it, right? So the whole time, like the question before that was like, so how do we get to that place? Now here's the answer: how do we get to that? That's the Gantz 11. That's the whole life is that. Every time we do Torah mitzvahs, the whole Tachlis HaAdam is to reveal this Chelek Elokam Imalav that we are. Is to reveal the truth. That's really what it is. This is everything. That's what the Shofar is. The Shofar is the Kol Mamakim. The Shofar is exactly that. I know you're looking at me and you're like, Yeshua Rubinstein, you don't want anything what I want. Then I say, no, here's the Shofar. to, and like the shofar is supposed to bring out like ritzonos which I'm not even aware of. Like, you want to know the real Yishuv Rubenstein? So this is it. Don't look at the one. This is the real Yishuv Rubenstein. This is the real every yid. That's really what the shofar is. Like, you're right. There's maseches and we're not really there. Life is that. That's what Yiddish life is. Is that the whole tachshav mitzvah is to reveal the godliness of a Jew. That's what we're talking about. To reveal that godliness. Everything is that. There's a lot of Rashtay to Ella. It's Mamash Apella.
I like that.
Yeah.
Hmm? I like that.
So many.
That's a very positive.
So many.
Connotation.
Yeah.
It's a good book, Positivity by Yeah.
Okay, we should be able to succeed in the favor of the bench jar and to Imam Khalish Bokhan Nashat Anas, Malecha Kololam Kurdech Vidacha.
The second you say Ani, you're out of the Parsha of Bittel. Once you say the word Ani, there's no more Bittel. You're out of that realm.
Yeah. So